Silas, you will fail. Your people will die. Your family will hate you and will die with hatred in their hearts for you.
I used to wonder why you are so evil and insane. And now I understand.
Is that right? Do enlighten me.
You are immortal. Yet, you know eventually God will destroy you. And there's nothing you can do about it. You will lose, Beals, no matter what you do to me, or any human on this earth.
How pathetic, Silas. Psychology does not work on an angel.
You are a fallen angel, and I'm not so vain to be tricked by your threats. I am a man who loves God.
I don't need to threaten you, Silas. Just wait until you gaze your eyes on the corpses of your sons.
New Kingdom Radio Theater.
Are you a fan of The Rise of King Asylus? Do you find this epic story entertaining? Well, we've got some great merchandise for you. Hi, I'm Angelica. I'm from the podcast A Little Bit of Everything With Me. Go to tpublic.com/user/KingAsylus and choose from an assortment of t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, stickers, and much more. The King Asylus storefront has something you'll love. Go to tpublic.com/user/KingAsylus. That's teepublic.com/user/KingAsylus today.
Love, I don't know how you do it. You hardly sleep at night. Lately, you've been screaming more and more. I'm starting to really worry about you.
Ever since I executed those Satanists, the night terrors have been more and more relentless. It's like they are attacking me every time I close my eyes.
You know, when you sleep in the daytime, you seem to not have those night terrors. Aren't you seeing Dr. Ezekiel today? You should try to sleep there.
Believe me, I plan on it.
Not to change the subject, but my father has asked when we are going to have dinner again. Is there something going on that he feels a need to rush a dinner meeting with his son-in-law?
I'm sorry, my love. He has tried to talk with me lately. I've had to tighten my inner circle ever since the Canada thing. It's not that I'm trying to exclude him or anything, but he has several businesses in Canada and England. It's standard procedure, dear.
Well, if you say so. But it does seem like you're being a little too paranoid. You know my father adores you.
No offense, Rebecca, but this really isn't personal. Your father is still a businessman, and I guarantee you there are things about him you don't know.
Are you suggesting my father cannot be trusted?
No. What I am saying is, until I know for sure who the moles are, I have to make sure I use the process of elimination. If your father's not undermining me, that does not mean others around him aren't. And I have to make sure. But yes, we can still have him over for dinner. Will you tell him, or should I call him myself?
Hun, if you call him yourself, it would really mean a lot. He thinks you're pushing him out permanently. But I'm sure you will figure it all out and tell me. Right, my love?
Of course. I will call him this afternoon after my visit with Dr. Ezekiel. I promise.
There was a time when things were simpler. Silas was a man who prayed a lot and hoped God would answer his prayers. Most of the time, he went with his gut feelings about things and did his best to stay ahead of the game. especially when it came to the monster group. Then everything changed when he met a man who claimed to be the messenger of God, the angel Gabriel. When King Osiris woke from a day nap in Dr. Ezekiel's office, he opened his eyes and saw a man claiming to be Gabriel. Osiris was certainly aggressive in his strategies to destroy the monster group, but knew he would need outside help. Gabriel's appearance couldn't have happened at a better time, and Osiris took this as a sign from God that he was on the right path.
I apologize for my office being so messy, Your Majesty. Before you arrived, I had a couple in here trying to work out their differences, and things got, well, a little hostile.
I had no idea you were a marriage counselor as well, Dr. Ezekiel.
Oh, jeez, no, not in the least. This couple are friends of mine, and I was doing them a favor.
Oh, really? Anyone I know?
Well, sir, they asked for me to be discreet.
Dr. Ezekiel, I am your king and master. You will tell me this instant who the couple is having marital problems.
Of course, Your Majesty. It was Quentin Capone and his wife Geraldine.
Capone is having marital problems? That isn't good at all.
Forgive me, sir, but Capone made me swear not to tell anyone. He and his wife are trying to work out their problems, and he wanted to keep it a secret. He's especially worried you would think this matter would make you question his frame of mind when things are so complicated as they are at the moment.
It's okay, Dr. Ezekiel. I trust and love both of you the same, and I don't blame you for promising him discretion. Tell no one else of it. But as the king, you understand I must know these things. I will keep this information to myself, so don't worry. But I need to know why they are having problems. So tell me this now as well.
Well, it seems Geraldine found out Capone has been having an affair.
This really isn't good. Who is he having an affair with?
Sir, please.
Dr. Ezekiel, you will tell me who Quentin Capone is having an affair with right now.
Okay, Your Majesty. It appears Quentin Capone has a harem of women, so it isn't just one. Look, sir, please sit and relax. You don't have a lot of time in this session, and I know you need to rest. I have some nice, calming music for you. Your sleep is more important right now than dealing with drama. It's really quite unnecessary.
You're right, Doctor. I guess that's why Quentin has been out at night more than usual. I've been keeping tabs on everyone these days. Gosh, I really thought he would slow that behavior since moving to New Eden. But I guess old habits die hard.
Indeed, sir. Just let me help him and his wife get through this. There are a number of approaches to lessen his urges and work on his relationship with Geraldine. It'll be fine, you'll see. Just. And His Majesty is asleep. This is good.
Log 822428. Ugh, a lot of variables that could go wrong here. Gotta hope there's no guards, first of all. Plan simple enough. I'll go over it again just to be safe, though. Okay. Osiris is clearly doing something for hours at a time during the daytime, to the point that he's bringing up questions from the public. He's incredibly paranoid, so it may be sleeping. He's also religious, so it may be prayer. The last person to see him seems to be his therapist. So I know he's not alone. I know the state of his nation, too. He's in a lot of trouble. It's going to be impossible for him to defeat every other nation on this planet alone. I'd help him if I knew I was supposed to. But no matter. His nation is by far in the best position to give me what I need, right behind the United Kingdom and Canada. I'm sure he's only lasted this long because he's smart, well, as far as they seem to go. He should be easy to manipulate. Plan's simple enough, dammit. Jump in, stun anyone in the room with what I've cobbled together, hope they don't die, pray on his religion, give him a trail, cement my steady stream of technology to fix that shuttle, and jump out. I'm sure he'll go for it. Come on, Gabriel, you've been manipulating people for eons. What makes this so different? Just gotta... get into character.
Oh dear. It's certainly gotten bright in here. I should close the blinds so the king can sleep soundly.
Silas, do not be afraid. I know you probably have lots of questions, and I will try to answer as many as I can when the time is right. So for now, just refrain from asking anything and listen attentively to what I have to tell you.
Who are you? Why are you here? And why is Dr. Ezekiel frozen like that?
These are questions, Silas. Refrain. All you need to know right now is that I am Gabriel, and that I have been sent by God to guide you through this tumultuous time. You are being hunted, and your people are in great danger. But if you allow me to guide you, God will grant you immortality.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph, you were sent by God. I'm not worthy to be in your presence, Gabriel. I'm not worthy.
Please, Silas, stand up. You do not need to place your face on the floor for me. I am not God. I am just his messenger. But I've been sent to say and ask great things of you.
God has sent you. This means I can still redeem myself.
Indeed, you have a vast and powerful kingdom, but you are unsure how to defeat your enemies. You wish to save them from the disease and rot of the ones that hunt you. For they wish to continue to veil you from the truth and steer you to a life of uncleanliness and perversion.
Yes, yes! They have been doing this wickedness for thousands of years. But you know this already. All the Lord asks of me, I will do without hesitation. Please, your guidance is a blessing.
First, God wishes to test your mettle, Silas. You have to prove your worthiness. There are two immortals on earth right now. You must find out where they are and tell me this.
Two immortals? I don't understand. I suppose the devil is one.
No, not Satan. There are two others. One man and one woman. Here. On the stone tablet is an ancient language which will lead you to the identity of the immortals you must locate. Once you discover them, contact me.
I suppose I should pray, and that's how I will contact you, or no.
You've done well refraining from your questions, Silas. I give you a lot of credit. In your phone is a number.
A phone number? What's the number?
Just find Gabriel on your phone. I've already put my information on it for you.
Of course. You can do many things, I suppose. I guess I will just call you when I get this information.
Silas, you will do great things.
Capone, I have a special mission for you.
A mission, sir?
Yes, but it has to be very discreet. You know what I mean?
I do. What's the mission?
I need you to find the best linguist in the kingdom and have him or her translate this stone tablet.
Sir, I've never seen anything like this. It's like some kind of strange inscriptions. I've been to Egypt and have seen my share of hieroglyphics, but never seen anything quite like this at all. Where did you get this?
Discretion has enormous value, does it not, Quentin? I trust you will refrain from asking any more questions about this.
Yes, of course, sir. As long as you say it's what's best. But you know you can trust me with anything, right?
Quentin, I know I can trust you with my life. But can your wife trust you?
I don't know what you mean.
I think you do, Quentin. So let me be very blunt with you. This wanton game of chasing women through the night has to stop.
Huh? Ezekiel.
What? Ezekiel? No, Quentin. You. You and all those women you put up in private quarters. I've been keeping tabs on you for a while now. So please don't dare lie to your king.
I wouldn't think of it, sir. So what happens now?
Now you will find out what is written on that tablet. Don't drop it either. It looks like it's a billion years old. Then you will go see your women one by one and get rid of them. I don't care to where or how you will do it, but you will find a way to squash your urges and be a good husband to your wife and a good father to your children. This is my command, not a request.
Your Majesty, I never intended to leave my wife and family, if that's what you mean.
I know you never intended to, Quentin. You take me for a fool? You know I would never allow someone around me that would abandon his family. But this is hurtful, Quentin. Hurtful that so many times I have greeted Geraldine, and our families have done so much together. I'm very disappointed in you, my friend.
I am so sorry about this. I don't know. I just couldn't help myself. You know me. You know I would never betray you or my country.
Stop, Quentin. If you deceive your family, your wife, your children, how could I possibly think you would not deceive me as well?
Sir, please, believe me, I would never, could never betray you or my countrymen.
Then prove it. Find out what is on that tablet and go home to your wife and be faithful. Because the next time you cheat on your wife, you cheat on your king. And that would be treasonous. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
And don't even think about blaming Dr. Ezekiel for this. You have only yourself to blame.
We'll be right back.
When it comes to a team achieving their goals, every single member has to be laser-focused and completely loyal to each other and to the goal. There can be no mistakes, and there absolutely cannot be any cheating. For there are three main factors that will determine the winner in a match. First, one team is simply stronger and smarter than the other. Second, the forces of nature simply favor one over the other. And third, one team is ultimately better organized, synchronized, and absolutely committed to winning at all costs. Then, there is what people like me believe. Secure all three factors to ensure you will win it all. Quentin Capone has made a terrible mistake in thinking he can live a filthy, perverted life and be so close to the most powerful man on the face of the planet. This is arrogance of the worst kind. But I won't punish him for it. And it isn't my judgment he should fear. Instead, I believe his atonement will happen when it is meant to. As I am certain, we will all face our own judgment in due time.
Something was brewing in the castle. Something so dangerous it could destroy all of the king's plans. The monster group had scaled back their aggressive tactics and decided to use every possible infiltrator to influence the king in naming his successor. Queen Rebecca's father, Luther Gathan, was once in the king's inner circle. But since the Canadian terrorists' threats, Asylus tightened his core group, and Luther had too many outside influences to be trusted. Even though pushing his father-in-law out strained his relationship with the queen, Asylus insisted the move was temporary. But in truth, Luther was an instrument of the monsters and wanted to ensure Asylus's eldest son, Isaac, would succeed him as ruler of America. The monsters were certain they could control Isaac, but Asylus had not made it official, and there were rumors he would likely name his younger son, Jacob, as his successor. Luther wanted to make sure this did not happen and used his daughter, the queen, to assert the idea his firstborn should be the king's successor. In time, Rebecca also sided with Isaac, claiming he was a gentle soul and would be a benevolent king. Asylus and many others who knew Isaac well felt he was weak and would make a terrible king because he would cave under pressure.
Luther, glad you could make it. Our chef has made your favorite, Wagyu sashimi.
How are you, Osiris? I'm happy you were able to make time for your father-in-law. It's been a while.
Now, Luther. I told you this would be temporary, and I promise you soon we'll get to the bottom of the whole Russian terrorist plot. And when we do, we'll weed out the rats. I hope you understand this.
I do, actually. Espionage is quite common.
I'm sure. But when you have rats around you, Luther, I seriously doubt they actively plot to assassinate you.
Don't be so sure, son.
Well, in any case, I hope you have a hefty appetite, because I told the kitchen to prepare a feast. Nothing but the best for the father of my queen. Have I mentioned how much I love your daughter?
She is a beautiful woman, and she has produced wonderful sons for you. Isaac will make a fine king one day, don't you think?
I am only thinking about making sure there is a sound kingdom standing before I hand it off to my son.
Well, the kingdom is in good hands. I think the whole world is finally coming around to giving you the appreciation you deserve. Say, I hear King Hussein is visiting you soon. That's a bold move. You really think Muslim countries want to stand with a Christian nation like America?
I see you still have your sources. You should give them a bonus.
I'm only fishing, son. Don't worry. Honestly, I miss working with my son-in-law. Hell, not many men can say their son-in-law is a king, right?
Luther, please.
Hey!
Ah, and here is my beautiful queen.
Father, I'm so happy you made it. How was Paris?
Paris? Well, yes, I was in Paris. It's lovely this time of year. I don't remember mentioning that I was there. It must have slipped my mind.
I give my sources bonuses, Luther.
I see that.
King, I found someone that was able to decipher the encryption on the stone tablet.
Okay, well, what does it say?
It says the following. Two immortals on Earth. Their names are Yuta and Xanth.
Strange. Yuta... what kind of names are those?
Sounds like something from a space movie, sir.
I agree. Well, use our data mine technology and find any mentions of these two people. I need that information immediately.
Sir, if I may ask, who are these people and why do you need to find them?
Actually, I don't need to find them. It's information I have to give to someone important.
Sir, may I ask who?
Quentin, I don't want you to walk on eggshells around everything. Yes, I am upset about what happened, but you are going to change all that. I'm not judging you, so please stop worrying. You are still my brother, and I love you always. Your wife does too. Relax. I will tell you everything, so just sit. Open a new box of cigars, and let me tell you about Gabriel. Listening to The Rise of King Asylus, Episode 6, The Visitation, starring J.V. Torres as King Asylus, Jeff Ellis as Dr. Ezekiel, Meg McDonald as Queen Rebecca, Alex Olson as Gabriel, John Doby as Quentin Capone, Gus Coronado as Luther Geffen, and narrated by Sergei Brezhnikov. This episode features the songs Living in Sin by JVMP and Who by The Intimates. Visit JVMP at ReverbNation.com/JVMP and The Intimates at www.TheIntimatesMusic.com. Other music includes Metal Introduction by Tristan Loegren and contributions provided by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com, Freesound.org, and Audio Jungle. Special thanks to Alex Olson and the program Everlasting Beholders for their contributions and crossover with this audio drama show. For more information about this program, the cast, and the music, please visit www.TheRiseOfKingAsylus.com. This has been a production of the New Kingdom Radio Theater in Baltimore, Maryland. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved. And stay tuned for Episode 7.